scream and shout with all your might.
Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and moan.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way your head has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Thank you and welcome. I am the Great One himself, and this is a great day here in Fort Collins. It's not too hot, shockingly enough, and this is Stating the Obvious, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that hones in and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. And should there be any survivor, should any statist escape the wrath of the nuclear-tipped cruise missile, then we fucking mow them down. Because if there's anything we hate around here, it is statist. I am the Great One himself. This is Stating the Obvious podcast brought to you by the Cynical Libertarian Society. We are on the internet, CYNLIBSOC.com. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. And you can email us if you want. Send us your hate mail. Send us your love mail. Send us naked pictures. Yes, naked pictures. Emphasis on naked pictures of you if you are physically attractive, of other people physically attractive. Send us naked pictures of anybody who is physically attractive. Hell yes. Send that love mail, that hate mail. Send those sexting photos to God. That's dog spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSOC.com. All right, welcome everybody. This is the 24th of June. January, February, March, April, May, June. Yes. 2013. Had a good morning this morning. Got up, stayed away from the computer, which was awesome. Went out, did some biking, did a little trail running, ran up the side of the mountain. Kind of got my ass kicked because it was my first venture up the side of the mountain this summer. So yeah. Didn't go all the way to the top. But I'm okay with that. I made it 3/4 of the way up, which was my goal. Good enough. And oh, now my voice is going. Hang on. I love this. We go through the whole microphone test and my voice is fine. As soon as we start recording, of course, my voice starts to die. Awesomeness. So yeah, it was a good morning. Came home, had breakfast, ate some yummy deliciousness from the Fort Collins Farmers Market. Some good, delicious tomatoes and squash. Yummy salad, all grown Monsanto free local produce, yumminess. But that's not what you came here for, is it? My voice is dying. All right, hang on, I'm gonna do a nice big cough. Dying. All right, there we go. Randy, remember the time when we were recording and I was doing the funny voices, making fun of how liberals screech about the roads, roads, and I strained my voice so fucking bad we had to stop recording. That was awesome. Yes, that's almost what this feels like. All right, let's focus. So I had a nice morning, then had a beer later on. So I'm very, very mellow right now. And then, of course, I sit down at the computer to do some work and I experience the outside world. I experience statist. I experience statism. I experience idiots. Idiots are everywhere. Let's talk about a few things here. Let's talk about Paula Deen. Now, I don't know who Paula Deen is, and I don't know why anybody cares about Paula Deen. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. Here's what I know. I know that Paula Deen said the word nigger And I know that this is a major crisis. And why is this a major crisis? Because if we didn't have crises like this one in the world, somebody, somewhere, might notice that the government of the United States is murdering and imprisoning countless black people every single day. But oh no, no, is there any fucking outrage on the internet about that? No, no, of course not. No, no, no. 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 Because you see, when the government kills black people, well, that's okay. Why, if the government didn't kill those black people and put them in prison, well, who would build the roads? We can't complain about the government murdering people. But when some fat white bitch that I've never heard of says the word nigger, oh my God, all of a sudden, it's the end of the world. It's an explosion. It's a crisis. We got blog posts. We got YouTube videos. There's a YouTube video of, apparently, of this bitch apologizing. I didn't look at it. I just saw it because I have shit to do. I mean, the things I have to do that are more important than watching a video in which some fat bitch named Paula Deen that I've never heard of apologizes for saying the word nigger, that list is infinite. 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 All of this kind of stuff, it exists expressly for the reason of making sure that you 99%ers out there, the 99% of you who are statist morons, it's there to make sure that you don't notice the government that you support, that you love, that builds your fucking roads, is killing people. Your Lord and Savior, Hussein Obama, is murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots. And what's important to you? Some fat white bitch said the word nigger. That is what's important to you. Book reviews. I am reading a book called The Laptop Millionaire. Don't remember the name of the guy who wrote it. Don't have it here. It's this breathless book about how you can get rich on the internet. It's an easy read because there's nothing intellectual about it. And if you do any kind of internet business or run a website, anything like that, I would recommend reading it because about 13% of it has got some useful stuff. There's some websites in there I didn't know about. There's some services in there that you can find out about. Yes, I mean, there is some useful stuff in there, but most of it is just sheer bullshit. For example, according to this guy, here's how you get rich. You write an ebook, you make a website, you put it on the internet, and then people sign up for your mailing list and buy your book, and then you send them stuff on the mailing list and they buy more stuff, and next thing you know, you're making thousands of dollars a day. Well, you know what? It's not necessarily that easy. Although, from this book, I did not know this before. Apparently, and I have not verified this by going to any of these websites, apparently, you ever notice how apparently is a code word for I heard this information third hand and haven't bothered to verify it. So that's exactly what I'm saying right now. Apparently, I saw that somewhere, like in a news. Randy, where the fuck was that? That we that we saw that. I read a blog post or a news report somewhere, and the reporter had wrote, apparently, blah, 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 and I thought, oh, so in other words, you haven't actually verified this information. Right. Anyway, apparently, according to this book, there are websites, you can go to this website, and you can buy an ebook that has already been written and just put your name on it and sell it. Because when you buy it, you're buying the rights to put your name on it and even change it if you want to. And I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, there's nothing about that that's necessarily wrong. I mean, it's ghostwriting. It's outsourced ghostwriting. But on the other hand, if I'm buying an ebook from somebody who claims they wrote an ebook, I suppose I have this unreasonable expectation that this person actually wrote the ebook and that they didn't just go buy it from an ebook mill. I thought that was interesting. Another thing I read in here that I thought was absolutely fascinating is this one person. This book is it is essentially one giant long sales pitch. Like, you know how you're on the internet and you find these pages for, you know, buy this video set and you will learn how to hypnotize women into having sex with you. You know, and there's this long page. It's this long page and you keep scrolling and keep scrolling and keep scrolling. And it's just more breathless text about how if you buy this DVD course, you know, women are going to be ripping their clothes off and shoving their vaginas in your face and all this other stuff. And it has in here all these testimonials. You know, I bought this DVD course and now I have 17 women trying to have sex with me right now. I can barely get to my computer to write this testimonial. But that is how this entire book is written. This breathless sales pitch with all of these testimonials stuck in the between. And in this one testimonial, this guy writes, and again, see, here's some of the good stuff. He talks in there about long tail keywords and how you can use long tail keywords to set up websites geared to niche traffic and get that traffic, you know, get the number one Google ranking for these long tail keywords. And this is totally legit. I mean, this stuff works. This is, and there's nothing about this underhanded. There's nothing about it. It's bullshit. I mean, it's SEO stuff. So anyhow, in this section about long tail keywords, this one, what's, Randy, why am I drawing, not recommendation, this one, testimony, thank you. There's this one testimonial. Thank God you're here, because I don't have a brain. There's this one testimonial where the person is saying how he can set up a website in 7 minutes. And so he's doing the keyword research, buying the domain name, setting up the website, putting the content on it, and he says putting a blog on the website. And he claims he's doing all of this in 7 minutes. And of course, he's mind-blowingly rich. You know, he's a millionaire because he has all these websites. And it's like that sell things for other people. I said this whole book is about, not about, well, there's some parts in the book about how you actually produce something, like how do you write an ebook. But even then, it's like, here's how you write an ebook. You ask people who come to your website what they want to know. You take the list of questions from the people. You outsource it. You go to Elance and you hire somebody to write the ebook for you, and then you sell the ebook. So the whole thing is basically, you know, how to outsource. Yeah, and it's like, here's how you make money on the internet. You make money on the internet telling other people how to make money on the internet. It's just like, oh, it's just so yucky. But like I said, there are a few good tips in there. There's some stuff in there that's useful. But so much of it is just so yucky. And not wrong in any kind of moral sense. I mean, none of this is violating the non-aggression principle. And none of this is violating anybody's property rights. It's just so yucky. Other book I'm going to mention is, I picked up A Writer's Reference, the 7th edition. It's by Diana Hacker and Nancy Summers. Because I wanted to check that out, because I heard it was a good book about writing. And what I found was that basically it's a book about how to write like a girl. Because there's all this politically correct shit in there about don't use stereotypes and don't use sexist language. For example, did you know that using he or she in a sentence is sexist? So if you say he went to the bathroom, that's sexist. But you can't say she went to the bathroom because that's also sexist. And you could say he slash she went to the bathroom, but oh, that's grammatically awkward. So what you're supposed to do is rephrase it so that you can say that person over there went to the bathroom or something like that. I mean, it was just like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Actually, you're not fucking kidding me. A Writer's Reference, 7th edition. If you want to learn how to write like a politically correct, emotionally stunted girl, pick that book up. Okay, got that done. Got my checklist here. We're doing this. Last episode, I briefly touched on Caitlin Hunt. He said touched. Yeah. Yeah. I actually did not touch Caitlin Hunt. The pictures I've seen of her don't make her look that attractive. It's just me, just saying my personal preferences. The Caitlin Hunt thing. I don't remember if I said this, but I'm going to make sure I say it now. One of the problems with those of you who are the 99%, with those of you who are statists, with those of you who are idiots, is your short memory. And things like the Caitlin Hunt incident, you know, they explode into the world and there's this fire flash as everybody gets all worked up and excited. And then everything drops off. And by the time the trial runs around, or by the time, you know, the events have run their course, whatever, everybody's forgotten about this and it's completely out of people's mind. And this is part of the problem where nobody has any sense of history these days. With the short attention spans and this constant need for new stuff. You know, this constant need for new input that comes from staring at the internet all day where everything is refreshed, where there's this constant stream of new information, right? Things like the Caitlin Hunt thing, they happen, there's a first impression, there's a flash in the pan, and then it's all forgotten about. And a year or two later, something finally happens. And maybe she goes to prison, maybe she doesn't go to prison, who knows? But the point is, no matter what happens, nobody knows and nobody cares, because there's just this response to the initial moment, and then it dies, and there's never any follow-up. And this is just one of the reasons why our society is in deep shit. You know, this is why I talk so much about the lack of attention span and why it's a problem. This is why the lack of attention span is a fucking problem. Because things like this happen and people notice them, and then people stop noticing and they keep happening. Today I decided to Google for Caitlin Hunt just to see if anything interesting had happened lately, see what was going on. And before this, you know, falls out of my brain just like everybody else, and I move on to bitching about something else you stupid people are doing. So there's a few interesting things. Now listen to this. The attorney for a young Florida woman who is charged with a felony for having sexual contact with her 14-year-old girlfriend has filed a motion asking the judge to remove himself from the case. Circuit Judge Robert Pegg chose September as a trial date for 18-year-old Caitlin Hunt, who is charged with lewd and lascivious. That. Lewd and, word that I can't say, battery on a child, 12 to 16 in February. It was battery. So having sex with another person is now considered battery. Remember feminazis and gay rights activists, your whole fucking shtick is about how you own your body. It was consensual sex. How can that be battery? All right, now. Oh, but wait, 16, she's 14. But 14-year-old girls can't consent to have sex, which, as I've said before, is really weird because 14-year-old girls, according to gay rights activists and feminazis, can consent to get an abortion. Now, I'm pretty sure that getting an abortion and having sex both involve that girl's body. If she can make a decision to have a vacuum cleaner stuck in her vagina, she should be able to make the decision whether or not to have a dick in her vagina, or whether or not to have a sex toy in her vagina, or whether or not to have another woman licking her vagina or putting a finger in her vagina or whatever. It's either her fucking body or it's not. Okay? It's either her body or it's not her body. Make up your fucking mind. But now here comes the important part. In a motion filed Monday, Hunt's attorney Julia Graves says she was never notified of the trial date and alleged that Pegg moved the case ahead of 200 other pending criminal cases because he is biased against Hunt, who is gay. A similar case Pegg handled involving a male defendant and a female victim took 19 months to conclude, Graves said in her motion. So here... Now, she's making this assumption that the judge is moving this up because he hates homosexuals. I'm not really sure how that connection is made, because in theory, you're supposed to get a trial, which is, first of all, a trial of your peers, and second of all, the trial is supposed to be speedy. Why would you fucking complain about getting a speedy trial? And these 200 other cases, I mean, most of them are probably drug cases, which shouldn't even be cases in front of the law because drugs should not be illegal. But I'm sitting here bitching, right, about how this court case is going to be slung far off into the future and then drawn out, and it's going to be done this way specifically so that people will forget about it, specifically so that support for Caitlin Hunt will dry up and go away. And here, her lawyer is fucking bitching because the case has been moved up so that the thing can actually be tried while people are still actually thinking about this. And people who, not that people's public opinion, not that people's support or disapproval should, in theory, have anything to fucking do with the decisions. But if you're a lawyer and your client is actually going to get a speedy trial, why would you complain about that? Probably because you get paid by the hour, and the longer you can draw the court case out, the more money you make. It's just a shot in the fucking dark. It's just a fucking shot in the dark. I know most lawyers aren't in it for the money. You know, they're just there out of the fucking generosity of their heart, and they know that, you know, putting people in prison where they get raped by other men for having marijuana is, of course, a great thing to do for society, and that's why the lawyers are really there. Over here, we got this one. Now, I'm fucking baffled by this. I'm really fucking baffled by this. Where is it? I can't find it. Hold on. Here it is. Oh. LGBT activists and organizations initially expressed support for Hunt, calling for justice to what appeared to be a prosecution rooted in homophobia. But as lurid details continued to emerge about the girl's relationship, it's lurid. Yes, because two girls having sex is lurid. As lurid details continued to emerge about the girl's relationship, including an instance of consensual sex in a school bathroom, backlash to the Free Kate supporters grew, and the call for justice became increasingly ambivalent. Now, what is this fucking weird thing that you LGBT people have? that having sex in a school bathroom is so distasteful to you that suddenly you have to go from supporting this woman to, you know, accusing her of being this fucking predatory lesbian who goes out and rapes poor little 14-year-old girls. I said this before. I'm going to say it again. They're both kids. They're forced by the government to go to public school. So they're in public school. They want to fucking make out. Well, you're not going to do it on the teacher's desk, although that could be kind of hot. So where are you going to go where you can fucking make out? Well, the bathroom. So they had consensual. Again, consensual, right? You fucking feminazis can't shut the fuck up about how women own their own bodies. Right? It's every time you open your filthy, nasty little mouth, some shit is coming out of your mouth about how women own their bodies, even though I've explained to you time and time again, the government owns your body, right? When a friend of mine tried to kill herself, the government showed up, stopped her from killing herself, and put her in a mental institution against her will, okay? Very clearly, you women do not own your bodies. Right? You don't own your fucking body. If you want to put marijuana in your body, you will go to prison. Your body will be imprisoned in a fucking cage for doing something with your body. So these two girls had consensual sex in the school bathroom, and somehow or another, fucking in the school bathroom makes the tolerant, diverse, multicultural, enlightened LGBT community turn against you. I really want to fucking know, what is it about fucking in a bathroom that is so goddamn offensive to you fucking people? Down here, there's a further story. Listen to this, yeah. The allegedly unfair prosecution is all too familiar to Jackie Lynn Anthony, whose daughter, Paige Johnson, is serving a 3 to 5 year sentence in a county jail in Warren, Pennsylvania, for charges stemming from a scenario that is eerily similar to Hunt's. In the spring of 2010, when Johnson was 18, she had a brief, consensual, physical relationship with another girl on her cheerleading squad. The girl was 14 at the time. When the relationship turned sour, the younger girl's parents had Johnson arrested and charged with a felony for... This is beautiful. Charged with a felony for taking their daughter across state lines. After the team traveled to another state for a cheerleading competition. Unlike Hunt, though, Johnson accepted the state's plea deal and was slapped with 2 misdemeanor counts of corruption of a minor. The victim's family cannot be reached for comment. So let me say this straight. This is your legal system. This is your democracy. This is happening under the presidency of your messiah, Hussein Obama. Let me see if I got this story right. An 18-year-old and a 14-year-old are on the cheerleader squad together having a consensual relationship. The two of them, because they're in the cheerleading squad, go on a cheerleader squad outing to another state. The 18-year-old is now charged with a felony for taking the other girl across state lines. I mean, what the fuck? If you're hearing that and you're thinking, well, yeah, that makes sense, I can't fucking reach you. Nobody can reach you. How in the fuck? When both of them are cheerleaders, the 18-year-old did not create the event they were going to. She wasn't running the cheerleading squad. They went on a fucking school trip together. And now the 18-year-old is a felon, or was charged with a felony. I don't know if she's technically a felon. No, well, it says it's up to 2 misdemeanor counts of corruption of a minor, so perhaps she is not a felon. But what the fuck? Meanwhile, back at the ranch. As I'm sure I predicted, if I didn't predict, I would have. Every time something like this happens, the politicians jump on board. A Florida state senator says he wants changes made to laws in the wake of the felony charges against Caitlin Hunt, an 18-year-old blah, 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 blah. In an interview with NBC affiliate WPTV on Tuesday, Senator Thad Altman, a Republican who represents Sebastian, Florida, where Hunt is from, said he empathizes with both families involved in the case, but called the situation tragic and that the laws need to change. Quote, you would like to think this wouldn't happen in this country. Two teenagers, in a moment of passion, do something consensual, and suddenly one is facing 15 years in prison, unquote, Altman told the station, adding that he will propose a dealing with age limits in Florida sex laws next year. Now, yeah, you'd like to think, but in a statist society, where the government owns your body, where the government regulates sex, where the government constantly regulates your activities, where the government regulates what you do with your body, where the government forces you to go to school, where the government forces you to associate with certain people, where the government prevents you from doing all sorts of things like not going to school. Okay, no, why? What do you mean you would like to think this wouldn't happen in this country? The government, through the law, through the police, through legal force, through threat of force and violence, through coercion, through putting people in fucking cages, through killing people. The government does this shit to people every fucking day. Why? What is fucking wrong with Thad Altman that he's so goddamn surprised this would happen? What fucking planet are you living on with your head shoved up your ass, Thad? Dude, your fucking name is Thad, okay? You're a member of the government. You fucking helped make these laws. You pay the cops who enforce these laws. You pay the judge who's enforcing these laws. You pay the lawyers who are fucking persecuting this girl, okay? I mean, come on the fuck on. What we got up here? Oh, this is awesome. So apparently also, Caitlin Hunt is in trouble because she clicked favorite on two Facebook messages posted by the other girl after she was out on bail. And this violates communicating with the other person in a case like that. I'm just like, and there it is. For those of you who say, well, the government isn't monitoring my social media. Well, if the government's not monitoring your social media, how do they know that Caitlin Hunt clicked fucking like on some post by the 14-year-old girl whose name we still don't know? Or I think somebody doxed them, but I'm too lazy to even try to follow up on that to find out who they are, because I don't care. It doesn't fucking matter who they are. That this 14-year-old girl's parents, from what I've read so far, sound like a bunch of idiots. All right, and apparently Hunt rejected a plea bargain offer by prosecutors would have permitted her to avoid prison, and of course her attorney is asking for a postponement so that she can make more money. Let me click on this real quick and follow this. Chug, chug, chug. Let me see if there's anything here that's useful or important. Yep. No, there, yep. Okay, good. So there it is. Just little updates on something that is soon going to fade from everybody's memory, and the rest of this girl's life will probably be ruined no matter what the fuck happens. And, of course, the tolerant, diverse, multicultural, caring, compassionate LGBT community is abandoning her. Why? Because she fucked somebody in the school bathroom. And gee, how many of us How many fucking normal people haven't had fantasies about fucking somebody in the school bathroom, okay? Like, seriously? I really fucking need to know this. What is it with you fuckers and this weird response to, oh my God, they had consensual sex in the school bathroom. We must turn our backs on them. I'm glad none of you people are my fucking friends. Speaking of idiots, I just stumbled across this pretty much by accident. This is from a website called OurTime.org. Its tagline here is, Standing Up for Young Americans. Fuck young Americans. In the bathroom. In the school bathroom. Oh yeah. Title of this post is, Something's About to Get Bigger and You're Not Going to Be Happy About It. Here's what this says. Dear President Obama, Speaker Boehner, Boehner. He said boner. Yeah, that's cool, Beavis. I want some nachos. Yeah. Okay. Dear President Obama, Speaker Boehner, and Leader Reid, we're counting on you to prevent student loan interest rates from doubling from 3.4% to 6.8% next Monday, July 1st. Student debt is a national crisis. The average graduate owes more than $26,000. Collectively, we owe more than $1 trillion of student debt. If rates double on July 1st, 7 million of us will owe another $1,000 per year. We can't afford it. Remember, student debt affects our entire economy. It hinders our ability to buy cars, afford homes, and start families. So please, make a deal and don't double our rates. Sincerely, your name. Because you can add your voice to this. You can send this petition. Oh my, you know, there's a lot of fucking entitlement groups out there, but you know the entitlement group that I think I am the most fucking sick of? Is college students. Living in a college town has benefits. The girls are cute. But I'm surrounded by idiots like this. Okay, we're counting on you to prevent student loan interest rates. Well, there's your first mistake. You're counting on another person. Okay, look. The only person whose actions you can control is yourself. If you're counting on somebody else to do something, then you've already lost. Okay? Get off your ass, make it happen. Now, who signed the student loan papers? Who took the student loan? Who looked at this and said, hey, this is a great deal. I'm going to take out the student loan. I'm going to owe this money to the government. I'm going to be at the government's mercy. I'm doing this. You did this. Okay? Welcome to the fucking world you created. Just for the record, in case you haven't figured this out yet, I want the fucking interest rates to go up. I love it. Okay, student debt is a national crisis, right? You know, unlike the war on drugs, unlike the war on terror, unlike Paula Deen saying nigger, unlike Caitlin Hunt getting stabbed in the back by the GLBT tolerant, wonderful, unicorns and kittens, loving, refreshing, totally inclusive community because she had fucking sex in a fucking school bathroom. No. Those things, you know, they're killing brown people in foreign countries with flying robots, you know, Tuskegee experiment, Japanese people in concentration camps, Indian reservations, extermination of the Indian. You know, no. Unlike all of that stuff, student debt is a national crisis. Right? National fucking crisis. I know I'm losing sleep over this. The average graduate owes more than $26,000. Well, tough shit. Tough fucking shit. You can't afford it. Well, why can't you afford it? You go into college. You're supposed to be getting a college degree. Your college degree is going to be worth all this money. You're going to get such a great job, right? Because Obama's fixed the economy. There's jobs now. The economy's better. We're all making money. And, I mean, you chose wisely what field to get your education in, right? It's not like you're getting an education in ethnic studies or underwater basket weaving or 14th century British history. No. You're getting a degree in something that's going to make you a lot of money, right? Because you really thought about this, because after all, you are the smartest generation, right? You're the smartest generation ever. You have the internet. You have Google. Why, you have your fucking cell phone. You are the smartest generation ever. Getting a high-paying job shouldn't be that fucking difficult for you. What's the big deal? What's a measly $1,000 per year when you're the smartest generation ever? I have a message for you little fuckers at ourtime.org. Stop your fucking whining. Deal with it. What's next on this show? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to talk about the documentary I watched a while back. I briefly mentioned it. It's called Urbanized by Gary Hustwit. H-U-S-T-W-I-T. It's part of a trilogy of documentaries. I haven't seen the other two yet, but I got them in my next Netflix queue. And it's a documentary about urban planning, city planning. So it, for the most part, it's very statist because, of course, it's a bunch of government employees sitting around talking about how they design and plan cities and buildings, you know, so as to be in the best interest of the average person, because, of course, none of us are smart enough to do that for ourselves. And without urban planners, it's pretty safe to say, who would build the roads? But in spite of the statism, I mean, it's a good documentary to watch to see the statism in action. However, I mean, it was also really interesting. There's a lot of good stuff talked about in there. I learned some stuff. So it's educational in the sense that you can watch it and see examples of how statists are stupid. But it's educational in the sense of actually being educational as well. So anyhow, I highly recommend that you check out this documentary. I want to contrast two stories that appear in this documentary. So the first story takes place in the wasteland known as the People's Republic of Detroit. Now, I'm not an expert on Detroit, but I've heard that, you know, the population of Detroit is dwindling and that there are actual places, parts of Detroit, where there's whole like city blocks, sometimes multiple city blocks, that are completely abandoned. Now, in this story, they're interviewing this guy, and so essentially, here's his story. He went out one day, and he lives in this neighborhood, and he's out there, and he's looking around, and it looks like shit. There's trash everywhere, all this other stuff. And so he says, man, fuck this. I'm going to clean this shit up. So he goes over, and he starts cleaning up some of the junk, the trash that had been dumped, you know, whatever it is. He's fucking cleaning up his neighborhood. Gasp. What a concept. Many of you, of course, believe that cleaning up the neighborhood is impossible without the help of the government, because why? If there was no government, who would clean up the neighborhood, right? But so this guy, on his own, just said, hey, I'm going to fucking do something. Instead of whining to Obama and asking for Obama to come clean up his fucking neighborhood, he said, fuck this, I'm going to take action. So he went out, he started cleaning things up. He didn't need any subsidies, he didn't need any tax breaks, he didn't need any wealth transfer, he didn't have to buy any politicians. Okay, I get... Randy's telling me to fucking get off of it. Alright, I will move on. Only those of you who are really, really fucking stupid do not get my point by now. So, he goes out, he starts cleaning up the trash. Other people in the neighborhood see him cleaning up the trash. They walk over there. What are you doing, man? He says, I'm fucking cleaning up the trash. I'm sick of this shit. They're like, cool, man. We're sick of this shit, too. We're going to help you. So, again, I'm giving away the punchline. This whole story is a story of anarchy. He didn't make any laws. He didn't write a constitution. He didn't go to his neighbors and say, if you don't help me clean up, I'm going to shoot you or put you in a cage. These people, as I tell this story, these are all people voluntarily coming together to accomplish something. And those of you out there who go, but who would build the roads? you just cannot fucking understand because you're stupid. God, I fucking hate you, fucking statist. You're so fucking stupid. Because you cannot understand that people can do things without the government. People can do things without somebody threatening them with violence. People can do things without laws. People can come together and do things together and get along and accomplish goals because not everybody is as fucking stupid as you are. Okay, so all these people are out here. They're cleaning up the trash. And somebody says, hey man, you know what? There's all this land here. There's nothing on it. Let's start a garden. So they started a community garden. And there's veggies and shit all out, and they're growing. And you go out, you just go out there and you do some weeding and you water it and you plant some stuff and you pick some stuff. And it's a community fucking garden. And there's no cops and there's no military and there's no flying robots and there's no constitution. And they're all just doing this together and making it happen. This is voluntarism. This is anarchy. This is what you believe can't happen without the government, because without the government, well, who would build the farms? Everybody would starve to death if there was no government, because who would pay the farm subsidies? None, they're not getting subsidized. As he says in this interview, the only thing the government did is let us use the land. Now here's the beautiful part. The only thing the government did is let them use, the only thing the government has done is not so far come and take the land away from them. The question is, when will the government do that? Because remember, the government has gone to farmers markets and poured bleach on produce because it wasn't grown by corporations like Monsanto. The government has put people in prison for having, selling, and transporting raw milk because it was not processed by multi-billion dollar corporations like Monsanto. So the question is, how long will it be before the government, if they haven't already? I'm not even sure how old this documentary is. I mean, who knows what the status of this garden and this community, this neighborhood, is right now. You know, I have no way of knowing. I could try figuring it out thanks to the magic of the internet, because I'm, you know, I could be like the smartest generation ever. I have Google. It's on Google. It must be true. Oh my God, it's on my cell phone. I have to send a text message. Oh my God, I had to check my Facebook account. Like, oh my God, like totally. Like, oh my God, like I am the smartest generation ever. But like, oh my God, like if Obama doesn't do something, my interest rates on my student loan are going to double. And I took a double major in underwater basket weaving and Afrocentrical ethical studies of like mid 13th century science. Oh my God. So anyway, what? Yes. Okay, I'm running out of time. Thank you, Randy. I will focus. Now, let's contrast this. This story, contrast this to a story from Germany. So in Germany, there's this project called the S21. What they're going to do is build a modernized train system. Now, to do this, what they wanted to do, they are the government. The government was going to tear down a historic train station, and they were going to cut down a bunch of trees in a park. Now, the trees in this park survived World War II. The story was that, you know, during World War II, when this city was being firebombed and there was no wood for fire and all this other stuff, all the citizens around there refrained themselves. They did not cut down these trees because these trees were old and beautiful, and the people who lived there valued these trees for their aesthetic sense. Now remember, without the government, well, who's going to protect the wilderness? Well, without the government, there wouldn't be any trees because everybody would cut down the trees. So these German citizens, while they're being fucking firebombed by the government of the United States for the actions of their government, instead of, you know, just letting the two, instead of just putting Hitler and FDR in a fucking pit with a knife and letting them kill each other, which is what we should have done, right? These people are being firebombed. They're dying, they have no fucking wood to make fires to stay warm at night, and they don't cut down the trees. Because the trees are that valuable to them. So now the government comes along, of the people, for the people, by the people. Germany's a democracy now. Democracy is the answer to all of our problems, right? Because if you just let the stupid people vote, somehow or another, stupid people voting will come up with an intelligent decision. That's the myth of democracy. The government comes along and says, we're going to destroy this historic train station, and we're going to cut down these trees and build a new train station because it's in your best interest. Well, the people were not real happy about this. Now, there are some interesting quotes. One of the basically, you know, man on the street or woman on the street type quotes. One person says, well, the government decided to do this, so we must support it. I'm going, ooh, you're a great statist. You'd be really loved by statists here in the United States. Another person said that this was decided democratically, so we must obey. Wow, it was decided democratically. We must obey. All right, now, another one says, if someone has a building permit, we must let them build. Wow. Okay, so then we went to this whole thing. There were protesters, there were police, shooting the protesters with water cannons, they were macing them, all of this other stuff. There was this whole process, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, and the government's saying, well, we did this appeals process. This ties back to Caitlin Hunt years ago, right? Well, we talked about all this years ago and nobody said anything, right? Because time goes by. People forget. That's why you come out and say, well, we're going to build this new train station. And then you wait 5 years and then you start building it. When people complain, you say, no, I asked you. We said something about this 5 fucking years ago. You just don't remember it because you have a short memory. So anyhow, the politicians who were going to build the S21 project were voted out of office in 2011. And the people who wanted to keep the old train station, keep the trees, got a guy in there from the Green Party. And there was another vote on the S21, and guess what? The S21 project was approved, and the train station is demolished, and the trees are cut down. And in spite of the fact that there's a member of the Green Party in charge now, the fucking train station, the new modern train station, is going in because the government knows what's good for you. Central planning. Fuck yes. So it's a great documentary. It beautifully, in those two stories, you can see the contrast between anarchy, people coming together to accomplish something without threat of violence, and people who want to preserve a part of their heritage, their community, their history, and having that taken away from them by the government, having the government shoot them with fucking water cannons, having the government shoot them with mace in the motherfucking face, having the government say, fuck you, we're going to do what we want to do because we can. We have guns, we have water cannons, we have mace. All you have is democracy, and if you think democracy works, you're a stupid motherfucker. We told you we were going to do this 5 years ago. What are you bitching about? Reforming public schools so that children can learn is kind of like reforming concentration camps so that Jews will have a nice place to stay for the weekend.